Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today, I'm talking art with Jennifer Milliken of the Bellevue Arts Museum in Washington. We're talking about the Emancipating the Past, Kara Walker's Tales of Slavery and Power exhibition. It's going on till November 27th, 2016. We're still in the process of lining up sponsors for Let's Talk Art with Brooke, but in the meantime, if you'd like to support the podcast, please look for my book, Reptiles on Caffeine, on Amazon. Enjoy the podcast.
So Kara Walker is a young and very accomplished artist. She was born in 1969 in Stockton, California, and at a young age moved to Atlanta, Georgia. Her father was a professor in the Department of Fine Arts, and the academic career is what brought them to Atlanta. She grew up there and then went to university there to achieve her BFA, moving on to RISD, the Rhode Island School of Design, where she studied for her MFA, and subsequently, I believe she finished in 1994, if I'm not wrong, and then received the MacArthur Genius Award in 1997. She, at that time, was the youngest artist to ever achieve that award.
Wow.
Since then, her work has gone on to become world-renowned. She has built a career on creating work that is, on the one hand, provocative. Mm-hmm. She's been called a provocateur.
Right.
But I would say that she's a provocateur on all fronts. Meaning, whoever enters an installation of her work is not free from the artist's criticism.
Mm-hmm.
How does she do this? She generally is known for creating large-scale mural installations with black paper cutout silhouettes that, in imagery and in medium, respond to 19th century antebellum self during the time of slavery and then following the emancipation into the Reconstruction period.
Cool. And these are really great. And they're, and I was reading some about them, and she is quite provocative, actually. You're quite
yes.
Right.
Yes. She uses some very provocative imagery that it can be at times violent, it can be incredibly sexual. And then, of course, she attacks many, many stereotypes in order to convey her message, which is that we still haven't overcome the difficult and challenging aspects of our history, and that sweeping those stories, histories under the rug will not help us advance as a society.
Right.
And I mentioned earlier that no one is safe in her installations and no one is innocent.
Right.
And I think you can see that through the cast of her characters, which I like to call her archetypes, which is because they repeat throughout her work. We have innocent-looking children committing dastardly deeds, and then we have young maidens and older people. Everyone across the board, white and black, are involved in some very heinous acts. And those acts, of course, serve as metaphors for power dynamics between race and gender.
Right. Right. What sort of acts are you talking about?
a note to parents. These acts include fellatio, in particular to this exhibition, being exchanged by people and our human figures and animals, or between people. We have different kinds of anal sex be happening between men, black and white, man and woman, woman and woman, man and man.
Wow.
So there's really the whole gamut. But I encourage the readers who enter the exhibition, I encourage them to look at those acts not as pornographic displays or gratuitous depictions of sex acts, but rather, again, calculated metaphors that explain a kind of power dynamic between people.
Right.
And ideas.
Well,
I should say. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I should say about this exhibition in particular, this is not an exhibition of Kara Walker's cut paper silhouette. This is actually an exhibition of four of her print series, from Harper's Pictorial History of the Civil War Annotated, which is based on the historical account published by Harper's Magazine in the middle of the 19th century, just after the conclusion of the Civil War. And it was there's a series of woodcuts that were illustrated by these two editors, or arranged by these two editors of Harper's and Harper's Magazine, in order to tell the story of the Civil War, or as they said, the Great Conspiracy and Great Rebellion. They intentionally left the individual out of these depictions in order to, in their words, narrate events just as they occurred. Of course, the human element is absolutely missing in these beautifully rendered woodcuts, and Kara Walker used them and superimposed them with silkscreen prints of her silhouette figures. Some of them are being disemboweled, some of them are being amputated to show the fracturing of the human psyche during this cataclysmic time in our history, but also to restore the human scale to this account.
Right.
And this is something that the print medium allowed her to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she has said that using Harper's illustrations as a backdrop has kind of allowed her to fill in a context which is always there, it's always present in her cut paper installations, for which she's very famous. So those landscapes are always present in her work, but they only in this series become visible.
Right.
So we have that series, we have 13 out of the 15 prints that comprise that series. We have as well as Testimony, which is a series of five photogravure prints taken from a short film that she did, and as well as the Emancipation Proclamation, which, of course, is a 26-print portfolio that is derived from an installation she did at San Francisco Museum of Modern Art.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to those print series, we have a couple of standalone silkscreen prints. We have a film on loan from Sigma Jenkins Gallery, which is her representation. And then we also have a couple of her laser cut steel sculptures, which also are silhouettes, of course.
Cool.
So it's a full show.
I was wondering if kids were allowed in the first part of the exhibition that you were describing.
Sure. Yes, they are. We have very gentle suggestions that parents become familiar with the content of the exhibition before bringing their children in. And then the film, of course, is a little bit more difficult to watch for some viewers. It's a little bit more sensitive.
Right.
So we've also tried to prepare our visitors for that as well.
Right.
But I think it's wise to prepare visitors for the sensitivity of the imagery and the graphic nature of the imagery, but I think there is something for everyone in this exhibition as well.
Yeah. And I think it's so important. I think it's good that it can be so easy to like exclude kids, but I think it's so important that they're there, because I think art's the best way to learn history. And this is history they need to know.
Right. I appreciate that you say that, because we've had in the recent programming at the museum, we've had some exhibitions that dealt with quite serious and difficult subject matter. And as part of our mission, we hope to make use of media that's familiar to people, that maybe people have experienced with their, whether it's nostalgic or having been makers themselves, and show them work by artists who are using that same media, but using it to face some very difficult ideas. And I think that if we can have serious discussions and challenging discussions in the art gallery, which is a safe space,
right,
particularly the museum, which of course is an education, an institution of education, then I don't know, I can think of another place where we can have them.
Oh, exactly.
And I think we should approach our art galleries or our museum galleries as a place where we can reserve judgments and be open to some very, perhaps difficult experiences, but also with the ameliorating effect of the human spirit.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that's so important that you say that a museum is a safe space, because, I mean, these can be so, I just think that it can be so, it can be, people can take things the wrong way, but I think a museum is a safe place, you know, for learning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about Kara Walker and why she's a sculptor, and I was wondering why she was an artist before, and then she shied away from doing like Black history or, you know, emphasis on slavery pieces in her art until she went to Rhode Island, I think it was. What sparked the shift? What was the shift there?
During her, I believe it was her graduate education, I think she had mentioned in the past that she did not want to participate in any kind of ghettoization in her work. And I believe that's more or less a direct quote. At least the word is hers and not mine.
Right, right.
And she attended, or she overheard, like, she used to work in the Slide Library, she overheard a lecture by an artist whose name escapes me right now.
That's okay.
Forgive me. But,
that's okay. No worries.
and then she realized that there were some very urgent issues that she could perhaps address. And of course, not to psychoanalyze Kara Walker, having never spoken with her directly.
Right.
But I would say there are certain signs or milestones in her growing up that may or may not have had an impact on this, the development of her work as well, and her concentration on a certain kind of imagery. She grew up in Northern California in what she describes as relative tolerance racially, and then was brought to Atlanta, where the institutions of racism are much more entrenched, at least in terms of the society, and systemic. And she was exposed to that with little or no warning, and was accepted into neither population. She describes herself as being too Black for the Black community and too white for the Black community and too Black for the white.
Right, right.
So it's hard for me to imagine a scenario in which this would not have an impact on her her outlook.
Right.
And her future art engagements. I think there's also an instance that she describes the way her father was treated, you know, an incredibly successful artist with an academic career, had a certain kind of reception in Northern California, and then coming to Atlanta was spoken to and was much more kind of paternal attitudes.
Right.
And she's mentioned this having not escaped her notice.
Right, right. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. So her father, what kind of art did her father do?
I believe he was a painter.
Painter. Cool. So yeah, and he was they were both very educated, very, very they did they did great art. So I mean it's
certainly.
So and they yeah, I can imagine the South is kind of funny. It's we moved from upstate New York, and it's funny. I mean, I'm sure that I knew that I wasn't really aware of racial divides until I came down here. So I think that's interesting. I think that's a Southern thing, but I think we're getting better.
Well, it's interesting because this exhibition has already made some rounds. It, of course, was organized by the George Smithson Museum of Art at the University of Oregon, from the collection of Jordan Schnitzer Family Foundation. He is based in Portland, Oregon. And if you look at the venues at which the exhibition has been presented, they are primarily white homogeneous areas. And this is not a coincidence. I think this exhibition is important for communities unexposed to Kara Walker's work and the kinds of themes that she and discussions that she raises in her work. I think it might be very important for those communities particularly to take a look and be provoked into thinking about some of these realities.
Cool. So what is the reception been for this?
Certainly. So we opened the exhibition on July 8th. So it's really been less than 2 weeks. Just a little over a week. And so far, the reception has been incredibly appreciative and enthusiastic. There has not been a solo exhibition of this scale of the artist's work in the Northwest, so we've been really excited to be able to bring that here. And you know, based on the weight of her name, that already is bringing audiences. So we're quite thrilled, actually. And I can tell you on a personal level, as a student of art history for some time, I've followed Kara Walker's work for some 15 or 20 years, and I was thrilled to be able to work her work on a personal level.
That's really cool. I think that's so cool when you're like, when you study and admire someone for a long time, then you get to actually like, you know, present them and just kind of show, I don't know, show you.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about?
The thrill never goes away.
Right. Exactly. So do you have any plans to tour to Charlotte? For the exhibition to tour to Charlotte?
I mentioned the exhibition was organized by the George Smithson Museum of Art. The organizing curator there, Jesse DiCilio, is now in a PhD program at the University of Texas in Austin. So you would have to direct that question to her or to the institution.
Cool.
We are a very grateful and enthusiastic host venue for the show.
That's awesome, and I've talked to other curators about touring exhibitions. I'm sure that's not the technical name for it, but exhibitions that go around to different galleries, their part in curating it, like their process. Did you have any input into how anything was done, displayed, portrayed?
Certainly. We're in, I don't know if your listeners know this, but Bellevue Arts Museum is a Stephen Hall building, which, if you're aware of the architect's works, has some very interesting geometries in the galleries. So, you know, presentation of exhibitions, whether the content originates here or if we're taking on a traveling show, is always an interesting challenge and becomes a dialogue between the content of the show or telling the story of the show and what the galleries allow us to do. If you are the kind of person who likes those challenges, as I do, mm-hmm. This can be incredibly inspiring. If not, then it might be better to be in a white cube space.
Right.
But white cube, it certainly is not.
Right.
We have two galleries on the second floor, and then a greater space of about 10,000 square feet on our top floor, and that can be arranged into two galleries or one. And these always present very interesting challenges with each stage in our exhibition cycle. So this was no less a challenge, but I really appreciate it, and I'm very happy and satisfied with the way the exhibition turned out. I was able to keep the integrity of each of these print portfolios of the artists intact in each of these galleries, and
oh, wow.
That was really something that I wanted to do.
Right, right. Yeah, that sounds like it would be difficult to do.
Sometimes, but the important side of this is the viewer experience. The visitor needs to, you know, be able to walk in the gallery space and be able to understand the message of the work and the story being told without exerting too much effort in doing so. I mean, you know, art can be an atmospheric experience. Mm-hmm. As well as a direct one-on-one experience, and I want to be able to provide both of those opportunities in gallery space.
Right, right. Well, that sounds awesome. So this is a great exhibition. Thank you guys for doing it. I think it's very timely, and I think it is absolutely.
It just
sounds.
Yeah.
So what do you think? What would you like the takeaway for viewers to be? Like who goes see this exhibition?
A takeaway from Kara Walker's work. I think there are two stories here. On the one hand, there's the story that the imagery plays out, in which she challenges the conventional understanding of American history through confrontational works that dissect representations of racial and gender stereotypes from our not-so-distant past and the very uncomfortable past of this country. So that's on the one level. On the next level, you have an artist who is making use of a very deliberate medium with definite historical connections in order to tell her story. And that is through silhouettes. Silhouettes have this particular resonance in 19th century culture. They, at that time, they were on the one hand serving the uses of philosophers and scientists studying physiognomy. Most notable among them is Johann Lavater, who was with a theologian and philosopher, and he used them to sort of boil down the essential characteristics of a person's face and head structure, and then he used that to draw connections between any kind of physical traits and character traits. And this formed the basis for a lot of racist approaches, which then carried through the middle of the 20th century. So she is very deliberately making use of that history in her work. On the other side of that, in parts of Europe and then America, the silhouette portrait served as a kind of method for middle class or emerging merchant class families to secure and commission portraits of family members and loved ones who might not necessarily have the kind of money to afford full-scale art oil-painted commission, but they could still collect these mementos of their loved ones and display them. And And this is also definitely feeds into Kara Walker's work. She said that the silhouette says a lot with very little information, much like the stereotype does. So for her, stereotype and the silhouette are interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
And this forms the basis of her approach.
Right.
In her work.
Right. And I was also thinking it could kind of symbolize anonymity, I guess.
Right, but then in much as Lavater did in essentializing certain aspects of a person's form, mm-hmm. physical form, she forces us to come to terms with the fact that we're making assumptions based on our personal readings of the imagery as it is played out mm-hmm. in the gallery, right?
Right.
So we identify, we use our kind of implicit bias in making an understanding and a reading of these images. We understand by looking at very little information visually
right. What
is happening between two people. We understand that this person is a plantation owner, this person is perhaps a stereotypical mammy figure,
mm-hmm.
or this person is a stereotypical Uncle Tom, or this person is a stereotypical Southern Belle.
Right.
Based on very little graphic information, and that is where the interactivity of the experience of looking at Kara Walker's work comes into play.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very powerful.
It is.
One thing, and I forgot to ask, I found a quote that said Walker relies on humor and viewer interaction, and I think that seems kind of strange because how would she use humor to through these pieces?
That's a good question. I think sometimes the figures are they're always lively, they're always dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And often some of her archetypes include what she calls the Piccaninny children,
mm-hmm.
who are tricksters.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of moving through a composition, enacting all kinds of forms of violence. And this is one of her approaches to ambiguities, is that, they are children and they come with a certain amount of innocence attributed to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think her imagery is very seductive, but it does steer us away from really sort of looking upon these images in a pornographic or a consumptive way, because
right.
they're also abrasive.
Right.
I don't know if I would use the word humor. I might use the word wit, or tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I think that's better. That's a better word.
because it is very, there's a sting packed into each of these tableaus.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this exhibition sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been really nice to be able to talk about this work with you.
Yeah, and I'd love to go see it, but I'm on like the other side of the country.
Everybody come to Seattle.
Yeah, definitely.
The exhibition is up through the end of November, so you've got time.
Okay, cool. I will try to make a journey.
You are welcome.
Thank you so much to Jennifer Milliken of the Bellevue Arts Museum for telling us about the Kara Walker's Tales of Slavery and Power exhibition. And thank you to you for listening. I know I learned a lot. If you're in the Washington area, check out the gallery. They've always got a lot of great stuff going on. If you're interested in having us promote your product or service, if you have a comment, if you have ideas for future podcasts, or would like to be on the show yourself, please contact me at arttalkwithbrooke@gmail.com. That's all one word and Brooke with an E. Thanks for listening.
Let's Talk Art with Brooke is a Hotspur Enterprises media production.